Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with Scott Barber and Jeffrey Seguritan. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Really excited to have you guys back. This is a quarterfinal matchup. So you guys have already kind of shown your stuff. You've proven that you belong here and deserve to be here. Before we get started, I want to let everybody know that this episode is sponsored by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is an awesome service that lets you get a box full of geeky awesomeness once a month and gives you a great value on it. You'll hear more about that right after the end of the first half of this episode, so be sure to stay tuned and listen for that. All right, guys, so you're both ready to go. Why don't we jump right into this? I have a Warm It Up Chris question for you. Our Warm It Up Chris question today comes from our warhead, Don Henley. That's right, Don Henley. That's a big warhead, isn't it? That's like a superstar, right?
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it's not the same Don Henley, but I appreciate you, Don. Thanks for sending the question in. Here we go. I have pairs of animals who star in television ads. Out of each pair, I want you guys to tell me which one made their television debut first.
Oh, man.
Okay?
All right.
The first pairing is Tony the Tiger versus the Nesquik Bunny.
Now, are we doing this as a team like last time? Or
you
is this,
are doing this as a team.
All right, very good. For some reason, I'm thinking Tony the Tiger is the first one. Jeffrey, what are you thinking?
It feels older to me.
I'd
go as Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Let's go with that one.
In 1973, the Nesquik Bunny came around. In 1952... Tony the Tiger roared onto the scene.
All right.
Yay.
Well done. All right, here we go. Number two, the Pets.com sock puppet versus the Serta sheep.
You know, it's funny. I only recently recognized Serta the sheep, but Serta's been around obviously longer than Pets.com, but Pets.com kind of came and went in the late 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
So... I'm almost, even though it's a .com, I'm thinking the pets.com sock puppet.
I honestly don't remember Serta the Sheep, so I don't have a reference. I mean, I know when pets.com came and went, as you said, in that late 90s. I know Serta's been around for longer, but I can't really say if I've seen it before or after the late 90s. I'm afraid that this question is baiting us into picking pets.com because it's... seems like the more recent company, but
you guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling this is like game theory. Is that I'm thinking that you hear pets.com, you're thinking, oh, it's the more recent one versus Serta, but I think pets.com is the earlier one.
Let's take a chance on that one.
Okay, pets.com will be the first one.
Okay, so pets.com sock puppet debuted in 1999. The Serta sheep debuted in 2001.
There it is.
Good job. Okay, number three, the Geico Gecko versus the Aflac Duck.
Wow.
Which one came first?
Those are close. Those are really close. Gut reaction says Aflac Duck for me, but it's a coin flip, honestly.
My gut was also leaning towards Aflac. I don't think I have a better basis of fact, to give us better confidence on that. But I was initially thinking Aflac.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go Aflac then.
All right. So Aflac came out in 2000. The Geico Gecko debuted in 1999.
Wow. Again, the close. Very I knew close. It was a coin flip.
Very close. You missed that one. Number four. Elsie the Cow versus the Budweiser Clydesdales.
I don't recognize the cow mascot. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Borden. I think it's an old Borden mascot. Okay. And the Bud Clydesdales, I think that was more of a – I don't know if that was ever like in print media or if that was just for TV. On that one, I'm leaning Elsie the Cow.
Yeah, I feel like the Budweiser Clydesdales – work better in a TV commercial than on print. So it might have been like more recent with the, you know, kind of the emergence of the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
I don't have an intuition on Elsie the Cow. as you say, it's probably older, so we should probably go with that one.
Okay. All right, Elsie the Cow.
All right. The Budweiser Clydesdales were first used in 1951.
Wow.
That's wow.
Elsie the Cow, first used in 1947.
All right.
Good job. Number five, the NBC Peacock versus Charlie Tuna.
Yeah, it seems like I remember Charlie Tuna being in black and white. And I think the whole point of the NBC Peacock was when color TV came around.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I'm leaning toward Charlie Tuna.
I think I've seen a graphic where the evolution of the NBC logo, and I mean, it is pretty old, but I couldn't picture it in a non-color setting. If you're saying that Charlie Tuna might have been out there when things were black and white, I mean, that makes a lot of sense that it could be older.
So what are you going with?
Let's go with Charlie the Tuna.
All right. The NBC Peacock came around in 1956. Charlie the Tuna, 1961.
Ah.
Wow.
So that one's my fault.
Peacock was first.
The Peacock was first. Wow.
I don't know if it was in color originally or not.
Really?
I don't know.
It seems like that was the whole point of debuting that, is to show all the colors.
All right, number seven, the American Tourister Gorilla versus Jeffrey the Giraffe.
I've never heard of the American Tourister Gorilla. I know Jeffrey Giraffe has been around for, like, at least since the early 80s, because I remember it as a kid. So,
do either of you know the Toys R Us theme song?
No.
Come on.
You mean I don't want to grow up? I'm a Toys R Us kid?
Yeah, but you got to sing it. You can't just say it. How does it go?
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
A million games and toys and stuff that I can play with.
Because nobody's got all the toys they've got, and the prices are hard to beat.
Oh, you had a different version than we did.
Yeah, there are regional versions. I've talked to people about this for some reason, and yeah, there's like regional versions that I don't know.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, Jeffrey, you're going to pick your namesake. You're going to go with the gorilla.
Because I haven't heard of the American Tourister Gorilla, I was going to pick that. I don't know how old Toys R Us is as a store, though. But my gut was leaning towards the American Tourister Gorilla.
Yeah, I could get behind it.
Okay, so Jeffrey Giraffe debuted in 1973.
Okay.
American Tourister Gorilla, 1970.
All right, good job. Nice.
Well done. Okay, I got two more. The Budweiser Frogs versus the Taco Bell Dog. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
I mean, I remember the Frogs in like early 90s commercials. I don't even know if Taco Bell was that big in the early 90s. I feel like later 90s is when it really became popular.
This is another one of those that's going to be like a year between them, I'm feeling like, because, I mean, these are right in the same wheelhouse. I don't know. You're thinking Bud Frogs, Jeffrey?
I was thinking that, yeah.
That's all right. Let's go with that.
Bud Frogs, 1995. Taco Bell Dog, 1997.
All right. Good job.
You've gotten, how many is this so far? Out of eight, you've gotten five. You're doing really good. The last one, the Energizer Bunny versus the Coca-Cola Polar Bears.
I remember Energizer Bunny from when I was a kid. I don't remember the Coca-Cola Polar Bears until recently. I don't know. What are you thinking, Jeffrey?
My gut was the Energizer Bunny, because I feel like Coca-Cola has had like different campaigns and maybe even mascots over the years. I don't think the Polar Bear was like one of the initial incarnations of that.
So you're thinking Bunny, maybe?
I was thinking of the Energizer Bunny.
That's what I was thinking, too. Let's go with that.
The Energizer Bunny was 1989. But it was before the Polar Bears because they were in 1993.
Wow.
All right.
Great job, guys. You got 6 out of 9. That's going to be hard to beat, I think. So hopefully you guys are warmed up, ready to compete. This is going to be for a semifinal matchup against Amy Ningen.
All right. Good luck, Jeffrey. Good luck, Scott. Hey, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Here we go. Category number one is interesting people. What person who has been a character actor, a comedian, and a title game show host started his career as a speechwriter for Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford.
Okay, I'm locked in if you need to talk it out.
Scott with the opening salvo.
Yeah, I know. So out of those three, character, actor, comedian, game show host, I feel like I could probably better narrow down the game show host part of it. I'm thinking Louis Anderson from maybe Family Feud, Richard Dawson, also the same show.
That's the only game show Jeffrey ever watched.
Family Feud. I might as well say Steve Harvey. Okay, so I've only talked about one game show. What else can I think of? I don't think it's like Alex Trebek. He's not a comedian. Pat Sajak? Nah. I can't really picture that. I feel like out of the names that I've listed, I could picture Louis Anderson as also a comedian. I feel like his voice has been used as a character. So I think I'm going to go with Louis Anderson as my final answer.
Okay, Jeffrey says Louis Anderson. Scott, what did you say?
I wrote down from Win Ben Stein's Money, I went with Ben Stein. Bueller.
Ben Stein is correct. Good job. The biggest clue was title game show host, which means his name is in the title.
I missed that.
Okay, so Scott starts off with a 10-point advantage. Question two, the category is potent potables. The question here is, the ingredients for what drink include bourbon, white sugar, mint leaves, bitters, club soda, lime cordial, and ice.
I think I'm going to lock in on this one.
Oh, Jeffrey with a comeback moving quickly here.
There's a lot of ingredients for what I thought was a simple drink. When I see mint leaves, that makes me immediately say mint julep. But I thought that was a much simpler drink than this. But I really can't come up with anything else. I'm going to go mint julep as my final answer.
Okay. Jeffrey, what did you say?
For me, the bourbon and the mint leaves pointed me to mint julep as well.
Okay, so you both said mint julep. There were two really good answers here if there's mint involved. One would be a mint julep. The other would be a mojito, which also features mint leaves. In this case, the answer is a mint julep. Well done.
All right, good job.
They drink those at the Kentucky Derby, and Kentucky's big on bourbon, so I remember getting a question similar to that.
That's really good logic.
That is good logic. That's funny. I thought of the Kentucky Derby, but I didn't think of the bourbon connection. That's a good job.
I didn't either. That's really sound. Okay, moving into round three, the category's movies. In 1990, who became the first former Saturday Night Live star to be nominated for an Oscar?
That's nominated, not necessarily won. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, I've locked in. I've got an answer.
I'm trying to think of 1990 movies that might have featured a Saturday Night Live star. I know the Saturday Night Live stars that have been nominated, like Robert Downey Jr. was nominated twice, but I don't think it was as early as 1990. I remember it was for, I think, Chaplin and Tropic Thunder.
I can tell you that it's not The Love Guru with Tim Meadows.
Oh, can I change my answer real quick?
Well, let me think of Saturday Night Live stars. You've got like Eddie Murphy, Belushi, Aykroyd. I wonder if it could be a female star like Gilda Radner, Joan Cusack. I know Joan Cusack, I believe, has been nominated for a couple. Dan Aykroyd, has he been nominated? I know the Blues Brothers was a good movie, but I don't know if that's a 1990 movie. It might have been like late 80s, like 88 or something.
You guys should know that Jeffrey's looking down at his pad. He's intently focusing on trying to figure out what names he hasn't come up with yet.
Yeah.
While Scott is excitedly bouncing up and down in his chair trying to see if he's going to hear the name that should make him afraid.
I'm going to go with Joan Cusack. She's been nominated a couple of times. It might have been a movie in 1990.
Okay, so you're going with Joan Cusack.
Yep.
Scott, what did you go with?
I was torn here. I know that Dan Aykroyd was nominated for Driving Miss Daisy, but I thought that Bill Murray was nominated for Razor's Edge, and it was earlier. So I went with Bill Murray, Razor's Edge.
In 1990, one of the big winners was Driving Miss Daisy.
Yep, there it is.
And Dan Aykroyd was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. The answer's Dan Aykroyd. We both missed that one.
Yep.
Okay, after three rounds, it is 20-10. Moving on to Category 4, which is Logos. What company features a Melusine in its logo? What company features a Melusine in its logo? Both of you quietly thinking. Nobody even has an idea.
I can honestly say I have never heard of this before.
Oh, wow.
I can't even imagine what this would be. Melusine.
I got nothing. I can't even, venture a bad guess on this.
All right, I have something written down, but I have less than zero confidence in it, so.
All right. Jeffrey?
I really got nothing on this. I'll just throw out FedEx and just leave it at that.
FedEx Melusine. Got it. All right, Scott, what did you guess?
I said Ferrari. I have no idea why.
Oh.
It just, okay, let's go with Ferrari. Why not?
Okay, so FedEx versus Ferrari. If I had said that a Melusine was a two-tailed mermaid, would that have helped?
Yes.
Yeah, that would have helped, yeah.
Because that's what it is. Which means the answer is Starbucks. Starbucks has the mermaid, and you see the two tails coming out of both halves of the circle. The answer was Starbucks.
That hurts, because I drink Starbucks almost every day.
All right, round number 5. Category is Nobel Prize winners. What Nobel Prize winner was jailed 14 times during his 39 years on Earth?
Okay, I've got something written down, so.
All right. Jeffrey, you can talk out loud.
It'll have to be someone that died at 39. I mean, that's how I'm interpreting the question. It's leading me towards, the Nobel Peace Prize, because I figure if you're going to get jailed and get awarded, receive a Nobel Prize, it'll probably be because you're taking a stand against, either some government or some movement. 39, so. I mean, 39 is pretty young for all the Nobel Peace Prize winners that I'm thinking of. I don't know if, and this is going to be bad if it's true, but I don't know if Martin Luther King was, King Jr. was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. To me, that kind of, it might fit the bill. The age seems right. I mean, I'm sure he got jailed quite a bit for a lot of his protests. I'm going to guess Martin Luther King Jr. I don't know if he was a Nobel Prize winner, but the other clues in the question kind of leads me to that answer.
Okay. Scott, what were you thinking?
Martin Luther King Jr. That's what I guess too.
The answer to this question, being jailed 14 times in 39 years, is Nobel Peace Prize winner Martin Luther King Jr.
Right. Nice.
Well done, guys. You really found your way into that answer. Okay, jumping from a serious Nobel Prize winner to a television question. What 1980s game show featured the Whammy?
I'm locked in.
I had a feeling you would be. we're around the same age.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, you're a 95 graduate, I'm 93 graduate, so yeah.
I remember hearing something kind of a shout that might have been from this game show that's like, no whammy, no whammy. That might, and it might be in reference to the whammy in this question. I'm a little short on names for what that game show could be, if I'm thinking of the right game show. And I know I can't go back to my Family Feud. I mean, my memory bank for game shows during that period is pretty light, let's say. So, I mean, I'm just gonna try to name an old game show. I don't know if it's in the 80s or earlier than that, but I'll say $10,000 Pyramid.
Okay. Scott Barber, what's the correct answer?
big money, no whammies. It's press your luck.
No whammies, no whammies. Stop. Press your luck is correct.
Nice.
Press your luck. Absolutely. I remember that. That was on USA Network and came on every day. I'd get home from school and watch Press Your Luck for years. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I love Press Your Luck. That was a good show.
Okay. After the sixth round, Scott has taken a pretty good lead here. It is 40 to 20. Your next category is literature. What best-selling novel was released in its original language under the title Men Who Hate Women?
I Am Locked In.
Ooh, wow. That was fast.
Best-selling novel, Men Who Hate Women. And this is the title in its original language.
That is correct.
Right, so that means that it was released there first, probably. What would this be in another language? What would that translate to here? Best-selling, it's a novel, correct?
That's correct, it is novel. A novel.
Okay. So, foreign novel, another language, so maybe French, maybe Italian. Men Who Hate Women. Yeah, I don't have anything for this. This is just one that is just right out of my knowledge bank. So I'm going to guess, I know it's wrong, but just because I got to throw something out there, 12 Angry Men, just because.
Okay.
Whatever. I know it's not right, but just to have an answer out there.
And Jeffrey, you locked in really quick.
I went with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
And why would you say that?
I just remember this fact.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I just know. The correct answer, it was released, I believe it was in its original Swedish, because the author was Stieg Larsson, and the answer is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Well, good job.
Really good job.
Good job. Yeah.
Thanks.
That was a big question, too. That was an important one to get right, because now it's 40 to 30. Before we jump into question 8, I realized that there were some folks who helped send in questions, and I used some of them, so I want to do a quick shout-out. Some of the questions on today's episodes came from Warheads that sent in questions to be used for various episodes, so I want to give a big thank you to John Bell. I want to give a big thank you to James Bell. Two different people, both sent awesome questions. Also, Jeff Bim and Amy Ningen sent some of these questions in. So thank you to all of you guys. I really appreciate your help pulling questions together. Ready for round 8. This is going to be, I believe, one of the first ever multiple choice questions on Trivial Warfare.
Okay.
Okay, the category is science.
Science!
Well done. I want you to tell me which of these choices is a real animal. Your choices are the ogre shark, the troll shark, the bandit shark, and the goblin shark. Which one is a real animal? The ogre shark, troll shark, bandit shark, or goblin shark?
I'm going to make a guess here, so I'm locked in.
Okay, Jeffrey is locked in.
This is a bit embarrassing because our trivia team had a question real similar to this about a month ago, and I just can't remember if one of these was the answer to it or not. I'm torn between, for some reason, troll shark and bandit shark. Okay. And for whatever reason, I'm going to go with bandit shark. That's going to be my
bandit shark.
Answer.
Yeah. Known for stealing prey from other animals, maybe. Jeffrey, what did you say?
I took a guess. I'm not even sure of this answer, but I went with goblin shark.
Goblin shark. So this is one of my favorite sharks. The answer here, if you once you've heard it, I want you to Google it and watch videos later, okay? The answer is goblin shark.
Wow, good
job. Nice job, Jeffrey. So this is a shark, right? And it has like a shovel head on top. Like it is a it has a pointy head and a mouth that sits way back, like a jawline that's way behind its head, and the mouth literally jets out of the body and reaches out all the way toward the front of its nose to grab its prey. I'm not kidding you. The mouth extends from the body. It is the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
So is it like alien or something?
It is very alien looking.
Okay.
Very. You have to Google goblin shark. It is okay. The coolest shark. And with that correct answer, after 8 rounds, it is a tie game. 40.
Yeah, good job.
40. Oh, this is exciting. Okay, your next category is music. According to Fountains of Wayne, whose mom has got it going on?
I'm locked in.
You guys are like fighters trading blows back and forth. This is awesome.
Just yeah, you're just hitting, I guess, different wheelhouses with the two of us. It's interesting.
I mean, all I can remember is Stacy's mom has got it going on. So I'll go with Stacy's mom.
Stacy's mom. Scott, what did you say?
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
It is Stacy's mom. 50-50 going into round 10. Good job singing there, too. I appreciate that. Well
yes,
done.
Excellent job.
All right. Your last category is history, specifically Civil War history. What former general-in-chief of the Union Army ran as the Democratic candidate against Abraham Lincoln in the 1864 election?
I'm going to lock in.
All right. Jeffrey has his answer.
The only name that keeps coming to mind is U.S. Grant, but I thought Grant was a Republican. It just he may have switched parties later, but I don't – if he was former – the way the question reads, he was a former general-in-chief when he ran, so he wouldn't have been – no. Cause
do you need me to read the question again?
Yeah, please, if you don't mind.
I can do that. What former general-in-chief of the Union Army ran as the Democratic candidate against Abraham Lincoln in the 1864 election?
I'm just going to throw U.S. Grant out there because I can't come up with a better name. So let's go with U.S. Grant.
All right. And Jeffrey, what did you think?
The name that just came into my head, which I'm not sure is right, but I'm going to guess it anyways, is McClellan.
McClellan. Okay. So it would really help to get the right answer if you knew who the general-in-chiefs of the Union Army were, right? There were only 4 of them. It started with Winfield Scott. Then it was George McClellan. Then it was Henry Halleck. And then it was U.S. Grant. And only one of those people really, really, really hated Abraham Lincoln, and that was George McClellan.
Good job.
Great job, Jeffrey.
Good
That's
job.
That's a great get.
Chris yeah. would be proud.
Man, what a comeback. That is 4 Damn. Correct answers in a row. The score going into the final is 50-40 in Jeffrey's favor. Wow.
I'm still nervous here, so.
Well, you never know. Your final question category is song lyrics.
Okay.
Okay, Scott has his wager written down.
I've got a wager too.
Okay, we've got our wagers in. Category is song lyrics. Here we go. Excluding Kokomo and the Florida Keys, there are 9 vacation spots mentioned in the Beach Boys song Kokomo. You must name 6 of the 9. Now, I can tell you that Florida Keys is a generic statement of multiple islands, so Florida Keys as a generic island group is not permitted, but individual islands are accepted.
And we have to name 6?
6 of the 9. What's funny to me is right now you guys are trying to sing in your head, and you're both doing it silently. I can see Scott's mouth moving a little bit as you're doing it. Jeffrey's now covering his mouth so that he doesn't give anything away.
Jeffrey's okay. I'm not even looking up, man.
He's not a lip reader.
I've got 6 written down, so I'm going to lock those in.
Locked in. Okay, Scott. What are you thinking, brother?
I've got 4 of them for sure.
Okay.
And then the lyrics get a little mumbled in my head, but I'm pretty sure I know what they are at the end. I just would hate to misunderstand what they're saying and get one of them wrong. All right, I'll go ahead and lock in then.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell us what you're thinking the answers are.
Well, I just remember the chorus was Aruba, Jamaica, Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. And here's where it gets jumbled. I'm pretty sure he says Key Largo and Montego. Baby, why don't we go down to Kokomo?
Okay, so you said Aruba, Jamaica, Bermuda, Bahamas, Key Largo, and Montego. Jeffrey, what did you say?
I've got the same six. If you want to look here, it's Montego, Key Largo, Bahama, Bermuda, Jamaica, and Aruba.
All right. So, you know I have to sing it to give you the answer, right? Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahamas, come on, pretty mama, Key Largo, Montego. Baby, why don't we go? Good job.
All right.
You both got six. I should have asked for seven. I should have asked for seven.
I can give you a seventh one if you need.
Oh, what would you have said?
Port-au-Prince.
Port-au-Prince.
Right toward the end, he says, Port-au-Prince, I want to take a glimpse.
You're right.
Or I want to catch a glimpse, yeah.
Jeffrey, would you have gotten seven?
I would not have gotten seven.
Oh, I should have gone seven. I should have gone seven. The correct nine answers are Aruba, Jamaica, Bermuda, Bahama, Key Largo, Montego, Martinique, Montserrat. Montserrat.
Montserrat,
he talks about Martinique and the Montserrat mystique.
Yep.
And then Port-au-Prince, I want to catch a glimpse.
And I knew that, but I didn't know. I knew Martinique, but I didn't know what he said on the mystique. I couldn't get that one in my head, but I could have maybe even gotten eight. But
so you both got them right. It's coming down to wagers. Let's start with Scott. Scott, what did you wager?
I bet the farm.
Farm. Okay, so we went 40. So Scott has 80. Jeffrey, you had 50. What did you go with?
I went conservative, so I only bet two.
Oh, he bet two!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My gosh!
Song lyrics is not my strength, so... I mean, it just so happened that I knew that one, but... I would have not have gotten, like, 9 out of 10 of those song lyric questions.
Wow.
So the winner with the aggressive wager is Scott Barber. Jeffrey, you got the answer right and still lost.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow, what a finish.
Great game, Jeffrey.
This was a great game.
I mean, good job. Excellent job, man.
That's fantastic. That is going to be probably one of my favorite one of my favorite tournament matchups because you guys really battled it out. Really good job.
Yeah, it was tough.
Guys, thank you so much for playing. Jeffrey, you were an awesome competitor in the tournament. I bet you're prouder of this episode than you were of the first episode.
I feel like I got more questions right. I actually got a final question right, which I rarely do when I follow the show. It didn't work out this time, but, you know.
You did a great job.
Great job, man. And I couldn't have asked for somebody better to play in. Great game.
All right. Before we go to the second half of this episode, we want to take a quick break and talk to you about Loot Crate. Now, I made a promise to you guys a while back and said that I would never advertise anything to you personally that I didn't think was cool. But when Loot Crate came along, I said, hey, I like what they're doing. So Loot Crate is a subscription box service, right? What that means is you subscribe, you pay a monthly fee. In this case, it's $20 a month, not that bad. And they send you a box each month. And the box is full of cool stuff like Star Wars toys, or there's an awesome t-shirt in every box. One of our warheads on the website, Steven Rayberg, told me that he wears Loot Crate t-shirts all the time. They're some of his favorites. So we know the t-shirts are good, and you're getting one of those every month. But, you know, the other thing that I need to see before I'm interested in sharing with you guys is value. Money is important to me, right? If you're paying $20 a month, what are you getting? Loot Crate guarantees $40 or more worth of stuff in each box. And there are also unique items in the boxes, right? So it's not a t-shirt you can go buy at Target. It's not a pin that you can get anywhere else. Some of these things are exclusive to Loot Crate. So you're getting cool, exclusive stuff. You're getting a good value. And you're getting the type of things that I think you'll like. You know, there's an anime box set up. There's a Firefly box set up. I know you guys like Firefly. You pick on me for not having seen it all the time. And there's even a gamer box. So go ahead and check it out. You can go to www.lootcrate.com/TWA. That's very important. For us to get any credit, you need to go to the website with the /TWA on it. And when you purchase, use TWA as a coupon code, and you'll get 15% off of your first month. Okay? So remember, that's lootcrate.com/TWA. Hope you guys enjoy. All right, guys, welcome back to the second half of this quarterfinal episode. Glad you're still here with us. I have Russ Friedwald and my brother Bob Oakes ready for this last of the quarterfinal matchups. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good, Jonathan. How are you?
Yay. It's the matchup that almost didn't happen.
The matchup that almost didn't happen. That's right. Russ started telling us at the last minute, hey, I'm not going to be available. So we've moved this earlier in the morning to make sure we could record it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's very, It's very early on a Sunday morning, right after daylight savings time sprung forward on us.
Yeah.
So we'll see how good we all are.
After a night out.
Yeah. Yeah, and Russ stayed out late.
This is going to be
so
awesome.
So, Bob, you have an advantage here. You had better show up because he might be hungover or something.
I got plenty of sleep. So thanks for the advantage, Russ. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Trust me, anytime.
All right. And hey, now, before we get started, Russ, you just did a really cool event down in Denver, I think, with Geeks Who Drink, right?
That's
Could
right.
Could you tell me a little about how that went?
Yeah, it was cool. Every year, the Geeks Who Drink company does their annual Geek Bowl. This happened to be the 10th annual Geek Bowl. So first place was $10,000 for that. 230 teams of six. It's a pub quiz style contest. And my team ended up winning, so... as a healthy
ended up winning, as if you didn't have anything to do with that.
I tell you what, for the team we put together, it's amazing. I feel like the one dragging everybody down. It's
oh my god! If you're the one dragging people down, that's really team. Saying something about the other players.
It's a pretty stellar team, yeah. But it's a good time.
Outstanding. Congratulations, yeah. Man. 10,000 split, what, six ways?
Six ways, yeah. Turned out pretty well. My wife's already spent it.
She's like, look, all the stuff you do, this is for me.
This is for me, yeah.
So we're going to jump into our Warm It Up Chris question. What up, Chris? I'm about to. What up, Chris? That's what I was born into. Are you guys ready?
All right.
Yeah.
So this is a fun one. You guys are playing against Scott Barber and Jeffrey Segureton. Here's the question. I have different pairs of animals who star in television ads. Out of each pairing, I want you to pick the animal which made his or her television debut first.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Make sense?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you two names of animals that were in TV ads, and you tell me which one came around first. Your first pairing, Tony the Tiger versus the Nesquik Bunny. Who came first?
I think the voice of the tiger was Thurl Ravenscroft.
He's great!
Who also did the voice of the Grinch.
Did he do the voice of the Grinch or did he just sing the song? I think he just sang the song.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Let's go with Tony the Tiger on that.
So he thinks Tony. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Tony, the first one that came to me was Tony.
The correct answer... Let's see, the Nesquik Bunny was 1973. Tony the Tiger was 1952.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job. The Pets.com sock pucket. Pucket. What's a pucket?
Love a good pucket.
Stupid sock puppet. All right, Pets.com sock puppet versus the Serta sheep.
Ooh, okay.
They're both recent.
Very recent, yeah. Sock Puppet, that was a big Super Bowl ad thing. Pets.com, of course, no longer in business.
My first thought is the Serta sheep, because I think that's a little older. I think that's 10 to 15 years, and I don't remember the Sock Puppet.
And it's possible that the Serta sheep had a previous incarnation before the 3D characters they have now. So that's definitely possible. Of course, the Pets.com puppet had a very short run. So
yeah.
Let's go with Bob's answer, Serta Sheep.
Let's go with the sheep.
All right. The Serta Sheep was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The Pets.com sock puppet was 1999.
Ooh. So it was very close.
Well, hey, I did nail the sheep 15 years ago.
That's disgusting.
I don't want to. Wow.
I mean, I did not know that about you.
I didn't mean it like
this
that.
This isn't Dr. Phil.
Is that even, yeah, Dr. Wright, is that even legal?
No, I said it was 15 years ago that it came out.
That's what you said. That's what you said. All right, here we go. The Geico Gecko versus the Aflac Duck.
Okay. Well, the first voice of the Geico Gecko was Kelsey Grammer. That would have been...
Was it really?
Yeah. That would have been...
He's been studying his voices.
Early 2000s, maybe. I would say, so maybe just a little bit before the Aflac Duck. I would go with Geico Gecko.
I was actually thinking the duck on this one, but...
Duck?
I was. Okay. But I'll go with the gecko.
All right. Let's go with the duck. I like your instincts.
Uh-oh.
So which way are you going? Who's going to out-polite the other?
We'll go with Bob.
All right. We'll go with the duck.
All right. The Aflac Duck came out in the year 2000. The Geico Gecko came out in the year 1999.
Ah.
Another close one.
Oh, they're all close from here on out.
Oh, boy.
Okay, now we have Elsie the Cow versus the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, okay. Elsie the Cow, created by the same company that did the Borden Cow. Oh, no, the Elmer's... What did you... Elsie the Cow for Borden.
I'm not sure if I'm not sure if it's Elmer's or Borden, to be honest with you. It's one of those two.
Well, Elsie is Borden's. Elmer's is Elmer.
That makes sense.
I want to say that's pretty early in the advertising game.
I seem to think that they had the cows maybe even black and white.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I'm
they're both going to be old.
I'm willing to go with the cow.
All right, let's go with the cow.
All right, the Budweiser Clydesdales were 1951. Elsie the Cow was 1947.
All right, boom. Got one.
Good job.
Yes.
All right, we have the NBC Peacock versus Charlie Tuna.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, okay. Another one. It's going to be I don't know. It's a coin flip.
I know the tuna was black and white.
Yeah, and the Peacock was created to show off
the colors.
NBC's color capabilities. So,
yeah.
Let's go with the tuna.
Let's go with the tuna.
Charlie Tuna came around in 1961.
Uh-oh.
NBC Peacock, nope, 1956.
Ah,
the Peacock was first.
Peacock was first.
Your logic was the same as the other group's logic, too. It's like, well, the Peacock had to be color, so the tuna was black and white. Suckers. All right, we have the American Tourister Gorilla versus Jeffrey the Giraffe.
All right, Tourister Gorilla, that's late 60s, early 70s. I can see the commercials,
I don't even know what American Tourister is, for the record.
Yeah, I don't know
that luggage.
One.
Is that the same as luggage, Samsonite luggage? Like the gorilla they did for that one?
Well, you're thinking of the wrong thing.
Well, yeah, I know I am.
It wasn't Samsonite. It was American Tourister. But yeah, same thing.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's
I want to say
like
that's
that.
A little earlier.
No, I don't know the gorilla. Jeffrey the Giraffe, that's Toys R Us, right?
Mm. Right. And again, they're going to be super close, so it's just a matter of...
The coin flip. You got a coin?
Coin flip, yeah. Let me flip my phone.
That's a phone flip?
Yeah.
We can do this. I've been so bad at these, so I'll say Jeffrey, and you can go the other way.
I was going to say the Tourister Gorilla.
So, Bob, you're saying Jeffrey so that he can disagree with you, and you want to go with him.
Right.
So, and Russ is overly polite, so he wants to go with whatever you say. So, which answer are you going with?
The Tourister, American Tourister. Let's go the Gorilla.
Jeffrey the Giraffe came around in 1973. The Gorilla, 1970.
Ah, good job, Russ.
Good strategy, Bob.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Go with the opposite of whatever you're thinking. The Budweiser Frogs versus the Taco Bell Dog.
Oh, jeez.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
They came out right about the same time.
Yeah, almost exactly the same time, it seems like. But I want to say... the frogs were a little earlier.
I'll go with the frogs. I'm good with that.
Let's go frogs.
All right, you're saying frogs. I can tell you that the frogs came out in 1995.
They did? I thought it was earlier than that.
95.
Uh-oh. Could be in trouble then.
And the Taco Bell dog came out in 1997.
Yes.
All right. Okay, good cool. job, Russ.
All right, last one. You are on a roll now. If you get this right, you will tie and not lose.
Oh, boy. It all comes down
to this. Right. For the tie.
The Energizer Bunny versus the Coca-Cola Polar Bears.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's the hardest.
Bob has an advantage. Bob works for Coca-Cola, just for the record.
Boy. Okay.
So if you miss this, Bob, this is shame on you and your company.
I don't know. I think the Polar Bears were 80s, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
What are you thinking, Russ? Penny for your thoughts.
I was thinking the bunny.
You're thinking the bunny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say I saw those when I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm willing.
And I don't really remember the polar bears until sometime in the 90s. But I could be wrong.
I want to say they broke out the polar bears first for the Super Bowl, and they were kind of a running Super Bowl thing for a little while.
Yeah. I thought it was one of the Super Bowls that the Bills were in. Okay. But I could be wrong.
So, unfortunately for you, the Bills were in Super Bowls like 89 to 92 yeah. or 93. Yeah. So, that's right in that range of both decades.
This is a tough one. It's a coin flip.
I'm good with the...
I'll let Bob pick this one.
Okay, we'll go with the bunny.
The bunny.
The bunny. The bunny.
Well, I can tell you the Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Yeah. The Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Say that five times fast. We're 1993.
Oh, that's good.
The Energizer Bunny's 1989.
Yes. All
we
right.
tied them.
Got
them. We played for the tie.
No losers here.
Yes.
We only have, well, not champions. Almost champions. We have, you kissing your sisters, actually. Your ties.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Glad I don't have any sisters.
We need a tiebreaker.
All right. So before we get started into the main game, I want to tell you guys about another podcast that I found really quick. I've been listening to a show called Curious Minds by a guy named Ron Levy. And it's a really neat show, guys. I want to throw a recommendation at you to check it out. Have you ever heard of the Stuxnet virus?
I have not heard of the Stuxnet virus.
The Stuxnet virus came around in 2010. And it was targeted at an Iranian uranium enrichment facility. And literally, it's a virus that figured out how to shut down industrial processes.
Wow.
So this is a big deal, right? If you shut down an industrial process at a nuclear power plant, you could have a meltdown. That's the kind of viruses that are coming out there. So I was listening to this guy's show, Curious Minds, and he was talking about that virus, and he has lots of guests on, and he was talking about the implications of it, and he does a really good job. He's producing the show really well. So I've been really entertained by it. I love learning new things, and it's really digging into the kind of stuff that I'm interested in modern times that isn't necessarily trivia, but more what's going on in our times. There's another set of shows he did on how LSD was created, which is also obviously really interesting, right? So I want to throw a recommendation out there to you guys. You can check that show out over at cmpod.net. All right?
Check it out.
Will do.
Okay, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get our game started. I've got my questions ready, and this is Bob versus Russ to see who gets to go to the semifinals to face Mr. Chris Eve, who nonchalantly destroyed Mr. Hollister in his quarterfinal matchup.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. Are we ready?
Ready.
We're ready.
Category 1, video games.
Uh-oh.
Not including the directional pad, how many buttons were on the standard Super Nintendo Entertainment System controller?
I'm locked in.
Oh, Bob with the quick jump.
I'm just thinking of the controller in my mind. I did have one for a brief time. Trying to picture the controller, and I know you've got start and select, and then the ABC buttons, maybe? I don't think it had the finger triggers at the time, but I think there were 3 buttons for some reason besides start and select. So I will say 5.
Okay, Russ is going with 5. Bob, what did you think?
I'm locked in with 4.
4.
Yep.
On the Super Nintendo controller, you had A, B, X, Y, Select, Start, and the bumper buttons L and R.
Oh,
they did have bumper
buttons.
You were
thinking of the Genesis controller, Russ.
I don't know, maybe.
And Bob, you were thinking of the original Nintendo controller.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, the Super Nintendo controller was much different. All right, category number 2 is inventors. What English engineer invented the first process for mass-producing steel inexpensively, which eventually took on his name?
Okay. So the process took on his name, or the steel, like a steel company?
The process took on his name.
Okay. Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay. I'm not sure. I don't have much in the way of ideas, but when you say the process took his name, Vulcan came to my mind. And I think there's a process for vulcanization or something like that. And maybe I've just watched too much Star Trek, but I'm going to go with that.
Okay, so Bob says the famous inventor Vulcan. Russ, what are you thinking of? Or what did you write down, actually?
Oddly enough, as terms were running through my head, vulcanization did pop in, but I remembered that vulcanization is a rubber process.
Right.
And then I just started thinking about possibilities for processes dealing with steel that could possibly be somebody's last name. I didn't know the answer, but I circled Galvin, as in galvanization.
All right, so we have Vulcan versus Galvin. I work with a guy named Galvin, and I can tell you that he did not invent this process. I know that. The process you're looking for was the Bessemer process. It was Henry Bessemer.
I would have never gotten there.
And I'm pretty sure that the Bessemer process is the process that Carnegie used to really get his steel company on the map and to be the market leader.
And see, Carnegie was the name that hit me first, but that's a company.
Exactly.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got you guys stumped after 2 rounds. This is interesting.
Yeah. Being tough on us.
Okay, round 3. The category is charity. It's an interesting category name, isn't it? Charity.
Charity.
That's right. Charity! okay. What birth defect does Operation Smile work to eliminate, providing reconstructive surgery to children around the world?
I'm locked in.
I know this. I just don't know what it's called.
Then technically you don't know it.
Yeah. No, I know it because I can see... I can see it of what these kids look like before, but I don't know what it's called. No, I give. I don't know.
Oh, no. Sure?
Actually, I'll go with something. Cleft palate. I don't think that's it, but I'll go with that.
Cleft palate. All right, Russ, what did you say?
He goes from I give to giving the right answer. It's cleft palate or cleft lip. Yeah.
I would have accepted cleft palate... cleft lip or hair lip. Yep. You are both correct. It is a cleft palate. You really,
nice.
this is why I never say uncle. You'll never ever hear me say uncle, right? Because the silly thing that you're thinking has no chance of being right is better than nothing.
I can't believe I got that.
I can't believe you almost gave up. Can you imagine? Russ would have said it and you're like, I was thinking that.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I was just going to say.
Okay, why wouldn't you say it? Okay. So we're on the board. Round 4 is sports.
Sports.
Nolan Ryan is the only player in Major League history with over 5,000 strikeouts. There are only 3 players with 4,000 or more. I'll give you full credit if you can name one of them, and 1 bonus point for each of the others you can name.
Oh boy. Okay. So I'm gonna lock in just for the sake of being done.
Do you have 3 names written down?
I have 3 names written down.
Okay.
Yet. Boy, I don't know baseball.
Oh, shame on you. She hate baseball.
I hate baseball.
Oh, God. You're no brother of mine.
I know. I mean, I'm trying to think of pitchers that I know, and I honestly, my mind's blanking. A couple of current players came to mind, and guys who I know aren't strikeout pitchers came to mind, but I'm not thinking of strikeout guys at all. I know he didn't pitch very long, but I'm going to go with Babe Ruth. I know he pitched, and I know he was an accomplished pitcher. But other than that...
Well, give me two more names. Don't say yourself short.
Trying to remember of any other pitchers I know off the top of my head. And I'm going to go with Jamie Moyer and Strasburg. There's the names that came off the top of my head. I know Strasburg's way too young.
So when I ask Bob for pitchers, the three people he pulls out of the ether are Babe Ruth, Jamie Moyer, and Steven Strasburg.
At least Jamie Moyer pitched for a long time, so.
There we go. Okay, Russ, what did you think? Did you also have Jamie Moyer, the accomplished strikeout pitcher?
No.
Oddly enough, I did not have Jamie Moyer on my list. But I did have, I went way back, and this is probably wrong, and I was probably thinking wins, but I put Cy Young,
because
I knew he had a bunch of records for pitching. Randy Johnson, who pitched for a long time and was definitely a strikeout pitcher. And Roger Clemens, who also pitched for a long time and was definitely a strikeout pitcher.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with his answer.
Have you ever heard of Randy Johnson?
Yes.
Have you heard of Roger Clemens?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Much better.
Have you heard of Cy Young?
I've heard of Cy Young.
Okay.
I just couldn't remember his name. That was the one I was trying to think of.
How Jamie Moyer came out of there.
Jamie Moyer.
Before, like, Greg Maddux or Tom Glavine.
My mind blew.
Jamie, where'd you hear Jamie Moyer's name?
It was on my fantasy team years back. which is why I probably quit playing fantasy baseball.
Okay, the correct answers are Steve Carlton.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Steve Carlton. Also pitched for a long time.
Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Oh. Russ gets 11. Bob gets 0.
Would have helped if I named strikeout pitchers.
That was Jamie, but the fact that you did come up with Jamie Moyer, that's the part that makes me laugh. That's like, I don't know any pitchers. Let me name an obscure guy. I'm never going to stop picking on you for that, by the way. That's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
And that's what brothers are for.
That's right. Okay, round five is in movies. What three presidents did Forrest Gump personally meet at the White House? I need all three. While you guys are thinking, I want to say thank you to James Bell and John Bell, as well as Jeff Bim. They submitted a bunch of questions for the pop culture show coming up, and I actually had a lot more questions than I needed, and so I repurposed some of their questions for this show. So thank you, guys. I appreciate you sending them in.
I'm locked in.
All right. I'm going to lock it. Ooh.
Oh. Well, we can't do a 3-2-1 because you can't do it in the right order.
Yeah.
So. Right. Russ, why don't you name yours first, and then Bob, you can name yours.
Okay. Now I'm second-guessing, but I feel like I remember the CGI process more than anything and how they did this. I said JFK, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and Richard Nixon.
Okay. Bob, what did you say?
Believe it or not, I watched the last 30 minutes of Forrest Gump last night. But unfortunately, no presidents were in those clips. I know.
But Jedi was.
Jedi sure was. I do remember JFK. I remember Nixon. I think he's right with Lyndon Johnson, but I said Gerald Ford.
You said Ford.
I said Ford.
All right. Well, because of college football, he met JFK.
Uh-huh, right. Yep.
Because of being a Vietnam hero, he met Lyndon Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And for ping pong... He met Richard Nixon.
Yes.
Okay. So it was JFK, Johnson, and Nixon.
Sweet.
Good job, Russ.
Ooh.
After five rounds, it is 31-10. Okay, round six is history. What city in Alabama lends its name to the first group of African-American military aviators in the U.S. Armed Forces?
All right, I'm locked in.
I don't know, but one name has popped out, and rather than... Cry Uncle. I'll go with the. I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this. Tuskegee. I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this. I know what I'm thinking, but I can't say it.
Take your time.
All right. I'm going to go with Tuskegee.
Tuskegee.
Yeah.
Okay. Russ, what did you say? I know it's painful, isn't it?
This is two. This is I have no idea what this is, but I'm going to give you the. Well, at least close to the right answer. If you've seen the movie Red Tails, It is all about the Tuskegee Airmen.
Tuskegee.
Also, Tuskegee Institute in Alabama.
That's where they were training. The answer is Tuskegee. I cannot give you credit for Tuskegee.
No, of course not.
Oh, my God.
Really? Gosh.
Oh, that was horrible.
Tuskegee.
The famous Alabama Tuskegee. City of Tuskegee. Okay. Round 7. The category is science.
Science.
I did it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What Russian chemist was the first scientist to make a periodic table similar to the one in use today? You might call him the father of the periodic table.
I'm locked in.
I don't know any Russian chemists.
Personally or historically?
Either.
Okay, just checking.
No, I don't have anything.
No answer?
No answer.
Russ, who do you think it is?
I went with Mendeleev.
Mendeleev. The correct answer is Dmitri Mendeleev.
Wow.
Well done. Russ, thank I knew you. You knew pop culture, but I didn't realize you knew your Russian chemists.
I remember a couple things from science class in high school. That's about it.
That's the one you remember?
That's the one, yeah.
Well, I need to do a score check. Russ is on a roll, guys. He's got the last 5 in a row right. It is right. 50-10.
51-10.
51-10. Mm-hmm. I apologize. Now, Bob, you're not out of this.
Yeah.
But you need to start getting questions right.
That would be helpful.
Yes. Okay, round 8. Category is interesting people. What is Takeru Kobayashi famous for?
I'm locked in.
Takeru Kobayashi. What is he famous for?
Two thoughts popped in my head, and I don't know which one's right.
Well, why don't you tell us
and
both of them?
They're so wildly apart. They're so wildly apart. I think he's either someone related to Pearl Harbor, or he's the hot dog eating champion. I told you, very wildly apart. And I don't know which. And I don't know that either one of those is right. I could be way off. I'm gonna go with the hot dog eating champion.
Okay.
Russ, how many times is this going to happen today?
You're tickled by this.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is Takeru Kobayashi is the first went with hot dog eating, and then I crossed off hot dog and just said competitive eating because he specializes in more than just hot dogs.
That's right.
But yeah, he was the guy that had the long streak at Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest until Joey Chestnut came along.
He is famous for competitive eating, specifically hot dogs is where he made his name.
Yeah. Right.
Well done, gentlemen. Bob, you're back on the board. That was an important get for you.
Yes.
Category 9 is drugs.
Drugs.
Yay!
Yay, drugs.
According to therichest.com, what drug originally created to help cure people of morphine addiction is the most widely used illegal drug in the world?
Wow. All right, I'm going to go ahead and lock in, but I don't think I'm right.
Kind of going with two drugs that I think are widely used, one being marijuana and the other one being cocaine. I'm going to go with cocaine.
Okay. Bob says cocaine. Russ, what are you thinking?
I wavered between a couple of things. I was thinking methadone, which is used to treat addictions, but it's not illegal, so it can't be that. The other drug that came to mind, and this was a drug that was, I believe, along the same time that they trademarked the name aspirin, Bayer, the company, also trademarked the name heroin. And I don't remember why it was created, but I will go with that.
So you're saying heroin?
Heroin, yeah. Not aspirin.
Well, yeah, aspirin. Heroin works very similar to morphine in that it triggers the exact same stuff that morphine does, just worse, and at a more tightly wound period of time. Mm. And as such, the correct answer is heroin.
Wow. Good job, Russ.
Sweet.
Okay. Your final category is geometry. That's right.
Geometry!
I broke out the geometry on you.
Wow. This is not going to go well.
What geometric shape is defined as a parallelogram with opposite equal acute angles and opposite equal obtuse angles, as well as four equal sides.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and lock in with the wrong answer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give another wrong answer.
I was terrible at math, so
but
we'll see.
I think it's a rhombus.
A rhombus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, this is hilarious.
What did you say, Russ?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
You wrote down rhombus. So both of you went with rhombus.
Yes.
And for the record, we both said it's the wrong answer. So
yeah.
Well, you're both wrong because it's the right answer.
Is it?
It is the correct okay, cool. answer. It is a rhombus. Wow. You both both thought you were getting it wrong, and you actually got it right. That is the end of regulation. And after the end of regulation, uh-oh. Russ, you haven't missed a question since round two.
All right.
It is 81 to 30. It is a runaway.
Sweet. Yes.
Oh, I hate runaways. Russ is a master at runaways.
It's the only way I can win.
Okay, so I'm going to give you your category. You write down your wagers.
Okay.
Your category is television.
Okay.
You're in, Bob?
I'm in.
All right, Bob is in.
I'm in.
Russ is in. Here we go. I'm going to name four game shows. I want you to put them in order from the lowest number of episodes aired to the highest number of episodes aired.
All right.
So take these game shows and put them in order from lowest to highest in terms of episodes. Your choices are Double Dare, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Survivor, which I'm calling a game show, as well as Press Your Luck. So Double Dare, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Survivor, and Press Your Luck from lowest to highest.
All right. I'm going to lock in.
All right. Russ says he knows the answer. Actually, he didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't.
Survivor's been on forever. I mean, Survivor's been on for 15 years, so I know they've got a ton of episodes in the can, but they're also a weekly show. I know Double Dare was one of those daily shows that come out with a bunch at one time, and Press Your Luck, I think, was the same way. And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was just all over the place for about 2 years, and they had like 3 nights a week where they were putting out episodes, and then they just disappeared. Actually, I take that back. They still do a half-hour version during the day with Meredith Vieira. My order from lowest to high, I'm going to go with Press Your Luck, Double Dare, Survivor, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Okay. Russ, what did you think?
The first thing I thought was, well, all those other shows were either A, daily, or B, syndicated, which means that they have to shoot a lot of episodes, whereas Survivor is a weekly show on a network. It's been on for a long time and a lot of seasons, but I don't think, even if you do the math on that, that it comes out to anything that would be in syndication or a daily show. So I said Survivor for first, for one. Then I said Double Dare. Oh, wait a second. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Survivor, Double Dare, Press Your Luck, and then Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
So here we go. Lowest with 478 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
That's the lowest.
That's the lowest.
Crap. Okay.
Survivor. Exactly. The reasoning you gave was perfect.
Right.
But it's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of episodes. Wow.
Second lowest with 525 episodes. Double Dare. Third, with 592 episodes, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
No!
Oh, wow. Hey. And last, with 758 episodes, Press what? Your Luck.
Wow.
Wow.
Press Your Luck had
that is crazy.
100 plus more than anybody else I gave you.
Holy cow.
Yes.
That's nuts.
No whammies, okay. No whammies. Stop. Okay, guys, so what did we wager here?
Well, I'll go first. It's obvious. I had to bet it all. I bet it all.
Bob bet it all and missed it. So Bob finished with zero.
The big goose egg.
Russ?
And really, I should have done that.
Did you do another three-dimensional zero?
No, I said 20.
20. Yeah. So Russ finished with 61. That is a win. Yeah. 61 to zero, which means, Russ, you'll be moving on to the semifinal matchup to face Chris Eve.
All right.
Outstanding
good
job.
Game, Bob.
Good job, gentlemen. I appreciate having you on. Thank you both for joining us. That's Russ. That's Bob. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Can you spell that, please?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I can. Melusine. A Melusine. Or it might be pronounced Melusine.
Yeah, you'd think that would help, but it doesn't.